Hello and welcome back. We're glad that you're here to join us on this beautiful day. My name is Matthew Minona and I bring you these verse-by-verse Bible teachings. And along with my wife, Victoria, we are the owners and operators of the Wash and Word hand car wash business located in Churchill. You can find us on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. And there we bring you these verse-by-verse Bible teachings. We play them on a loop over the radio. So if we have a small radio transmitter that broadcast them basically into the entire area of the parking lot. So whether you're over by the library or at the Churchill Fitness Center or the Holston Medical Group, or maybe you're just sitting in the parking lot eating your pal's lunch burger, go ahead and turn on 107.1 FM and we play verse by verse Bible teaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we want this parking lot area to be known as a place where you can always hear the Word of God going forth. And that's what we do here. That's why we started this business. The hand car wash is just a front, if you will. It's a front for the Word of God to be preached. And this is how we earn our money to support the ministry. So if you want to support verse-by-verse Bible teaching, if you believe that the whole counsel of God's Word is not only important but vital in today's society, then we invite you to come by. Let us work to earn the money it takes to support this ministry. We, like Paul, believe that we should be working to support ourselves so that we don't tax anybody with the Word of God. In fact, our motto has become, we exist to settle the Word of God and not peddle it. So help us out. Come on by. The second greatest thing you can do to come by and get your car washed is to come by and encourage us. Let us know that these messages are blessing you, that you're listening to them, that you're hearing them. This type of encouragement really keeps us going. All right, so we're getting back into chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. Paul is dealing with the roles of men and women in church, the roles of men and women in society as a rule, in general, of course, in relationships. And he was talking about in verse 3 how the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, and that the head of Christ is God, which is great. And then he goes right into, and we read him in our last message, verses 4 through 6, he's talking about your heads being uncovered or covered when you pray or don't pray. And he's talking about the disgrace it is for a woman to have her head shaved or her hair cut. If she covers her head, she might as well just cut off her hair. And all this stuff was disgraceful in that day and time for a woman to have all this stuff. But if we go back to what we've been talking about, and again, if you missed any of these messages, we encourage you to go to the washandword.com website. That's wash, letter N, word.com. You can go to the media tab and download and listen to any of the messages for free that we've already archived. But he's saying that God is the head of Christ. And so what he's saying here is, when he's talking about this head covering thing, we got to look beyond the obvious. And what he was trying to get across to the letter, in this letter, as he's writing it to those Christians, he's saying, look, you guys possess something pure. The pureness of the Word of God, the pureness of Christ in you. And he says you have to preserve that, especially in public places. And so if he's writing to Christians, he's got to, you know, he tells them that you've got to guard the good deposit that was trusted to you. You see, he says that if you prophesy or you pray, that you should have your hair or your head, he says, do not cover your head if you're a man, but to cover it if you're a woman. It really doesn't boil down to the head covering, so to speak. You know, what he's saying is there's no power in the veil, whether you wear it or don't. There's no power in the ritual. There isn't even power in the procedure. You see, the veil that Paul was talking about in verses 4 through 6 is just, it's symbolic of what he's trying to teach here in the whole context. And that is that the headship belongs to the male, and that the covered head is a sign of respect to honoring God. And the uncovering of a male is the same thing, honoring and acknowledging that the head stays visible, so that it, like a leader, should be on top, you know, out in front, leading, visible, making decision, using 4 out of 5 of its faculties right there on his shoulders. Remember we talked about in the last message that 4 out of 5 of our senses emanate just from our head alone. And so the man should have the head uncovered. The man should show the head as the a focal point of leadership, decision-making. And on those shoulders, the weight of those whom he leads shall rest. And that's what Paul's saying here about having the head uncovered if you're a male, or covered if you're a woman. He's just putting it in brackets, putting in perspective of the roles that we play in our society, in our families, in our churches, that men carry this weight, and we carry it through the power of the Spirit of God in us as we submit ourselves to Christ, Christ submitting himself to God. And in this order, well, order takes place. Also note this important fact, both men and women were free to exercise. And I'll reread some of 4 and 6 that we talked about in our last message, but every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. And then he says in verse 5, every woman who prays or prophesies. Listen, God wasn't setting this order of man and then woman under man for the sake of women to be silent. I know we read elsewhere that it says women should be silent in the church and only speak when they're home, but that's a different context. That's a different, when he wrote that, it was for a different context than what he's talking about here. That's why you have to remember the first rule of human hermeneutics is context is king. And so we can't just take one verse and blow it out of proportion. Paul is setting an order here, but it isn't for one to be lesser than the other, just one to be subjected to the other. Christ came and leveled the playing field. Christ elevated women to the same degree as men in terms of importance, in terms of the ability to serve. Women, in fact, my goodness, could you imagine the church, the body of Christ, how paltry and pathetic it would look if women didn't even serve at all? If men were left to do all the serving in the church, I mean, our bathrooms alone would be disgusting. It was a joke. Women serve in a lot of great areas within the body of Christ. And this is what Jesus came to do. This is what Paul is explaining here, that we're both free to exercise ministry. We're both here to serve God on the level playing field, but we have to put the roles of who we are in proper perspective so that God can bless the ministries. And if we try to do the ministry with the order out of place, it's not going to be as effective. Paul says, both of you can pray. Both of you could prophesy. And like all things God-related, there has to be order, because elsewhere, which we'll look at in a couple of chapters, 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. And so we'll teach more about this when we get to chapter 14. And yes, what we're talking about here is a cultural-related teaching in regards to the head covering. Even today, no Orthodox male Jew would ever read the scripture without his beanie. That's why they wear those. They put those things on their heads because it's an underlying, it underlies what Paul, and if you're an Orthodox Jew, you're still following the Old Testament laws. But the underlying principle hasn't changed. And so it is good for us to remember 1 Thessalonians 4:1, Paul says, finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. Finally, he says. And so we see here that living in a godly, orderly fashion pleases God. And so if you read these scriptures and you look at them and you see that it says that women is the man is the head of the woman, and you get your panties all in a bunch and you start stewing in your seat, or you have trouble submitting to the authority of God's word, then you also have trouble pleasing God, because this is how we please God. This is what Paul said in the finally of the scripture we just read in 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally, You know, when it all comes down to it, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. So again, if you have trouble with this teaching that Paul is laying out here, if you have trouble with submission, then you have trouble pleasing God. Some people today, women especially, accuse Paul of being sort of a bigot here, a misogynist of some point. But what he's saying is, look, he says women can pray and prophesy in public, but they must do so with a demeanor and an attitude that supports the male headship. Because you see, in that culture, wearing head covering communicated a submissive demeanor and a feminine adornment. Thus, Paul does not forbid women to participate in public worship. Yet he does insist that in their participation, they should evidence a demeanor that is humble and submissive to the male leadership. And there's nothing wrong with that, because that is how we please God. Remember, prayer and prophecy, that is, expounding and explaining the word or the heart of God, were for both men and women to do. And both could do it in an honoring or dishonoring way. And so, to put this back in a nutshell, to kind of summarize what we were reading in verses 4, 5, and 6, where he's talking about the veil, he's talking about the head covering. The veil was a sign or a symbol of acknowledging the headship of the male, thus honoring the headship of God. And so a man does not cover his head, as a sign that he is accepting his role as a male leader. I expose my head. I leave it uncovered. I want it to be visible so that I can be looked at as the head. This is where the translucency comes in. The transparency comes in. Where the man is subjecting himself to the visibility for the sake of leadership. And we know he is talking here about public assembly. And we know this because it's in context. He's talking about this right before he starts talking about the Lord's Supper, which we'll get to in the next couple of teachings. And he's also talking about spiritual gifts, which starts in chapter 12. So this whole process of what he's talking about here in the roles of men and women is for the sake of public assembly. So that tells us a couple of things. It tells us that it's a witness, because it's going to be done publicly. And so what is he saying? He's saying, number one, that proper attitude and humility are important. And if we take those three subjects, that is the Lord's Supper, spiritual gifts, and public assembly, which is the next chapter and a half, we see the following things: that there is a proper attitude and humility that must be exhibited. And it's always the position as disciples and pleasers of God. We also see in the partaking in the Lord's Supper, that is a chance to examine oneself. It is a place to examine our own lives before the Lord and let God work those things out into us, to submit ourselves to Christ as we take communion and we partake in the Lord's Supper. And then so from a position of proper attitude and humility, we go into partaking in the Lord's Supper, which is a position of examining oneself. And then coming out of that, we are now in a position to minister to one another. And that is how we take the spiritual gifts, having been cleansed through the Lord's Supper, having given ourselves over to a proper attitude of humility, we now can go forward and be the Christian witness God has called us to be. So you see, when we take all this in context, we see that Paul is really putting together a solid argument for the witness of Christ that we are supposed to be. Well, I pray these messages are blessing you. If they're not, that's going to be on you. No, I'm just kidding. It's just the Word of God is going forth, and we're just praying that the Spirit is working in my life as it works in your life, and together we can make a difference, just as Paul hopes we would as we read these scriptures. Have a blessed day.